Welcome to the Don't You Worry podcast. We're your hosts, Briley and Britton Caldwell, and we're here to say don't you worry through stories, encouragement, and joy. Be sure to like and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's conversation. What's up, everybody? We are back with the Don't You Worry podcast. It's your favorite host, Briley and Britton, and we are so excited for today's interview. I know we have a really special guest today. So would you like to introduce yourself, Eden?
Yes. Oh my goodness. Thank y'all so much for having me on. My name is Eden and I live in South Carolina. I live on the East Coast in a small town called Conway, right outside of Myrtle Beach. And I'm just super excited to have this conversation. Yeah. So a little bit about me. Most importantly, I'm a follower of Jesus. He is the most important thing in my life. And apart from him, there is nothing good in Eden. So first and foremost, just a sister and a friend and a follower of the Lord. But aside from that, I am 20 years old and I live, again, like I said, in Conway. I am a Liberty University student. I'm finishing up my senior year, or starting my senior year, I guess I should say. And I am just really excited to be done with school here soon.
Yes, I'm sure.
I'm going to school for Christian studies and I have a minor in communications. And so finishing up my senior year. And then I also am the event coordinator at my home church here in Conway at Langston Baptist. And just love getting to use the gifts that the Lord's given me to serve in this season, in this capacity, in this role. So kind of get to oversee our main big events that we host and do at our church. And so I love getting to do that. Aside from school and my job, I also am a writer and I'm currently writing my devotional, 10 Minutes with God for Young Women. And so that will be coming out next year that I'm super excited about. So
that's so exciting.
Yes. And I just love the Lord. I love his word. I love his people and just really excited to have this conversation. Thank y'all for having me on.
Of course. Yes. This is so exciting for us. We've been following you on social media. We've never met Eden before in person.
Yes.
But we've been following you and see your content and you're just so joyful and so exciting. And we're like, this is so fun. We've got to talk to her.
Oh, I'm just glad that we get to become, we're friends now. We're
yes, we are.
Every day we can meet up and we can have coffee because I'm a coffee girl. And
most
we
definitely.
Can share a conversation over a good cup of coffee.
Yes, that would be so fun. So since we don't know you that much, I just want to kind of ask a little bit of a fun question just about your personality. So is there anything specifically that like gets you really hyped up or a specific thing or place that really describes your personality?
Oh, that is a good question. Oh, that's a good question. Okay, so I've already expressed my love for coffee. So that is like a personality trait for sure. And a pet peeve of like my mom and some people in my life, they're like, it takes you forever to drink a cup of coffee.
Oh.
Like literally I'll get it at like 12 o'clock or like in the morning and I'll be still drinking at like 2 o'clock. So that's, yes,
yeah.
I am. Addicted to caffeine, which is not good, but definitely a coffee person. This is such a good question. Oh my goodness. I love just being around my family. Like I'm such a family girl. So getting to be with like my little nephews, I have two little nephews, just like brings me so much joy. I love Clemson football. So anytime I get to go to a college football game, just like brings me so much joy and meeting new people. Like I love having conversations like this.
Yeah.
That much joy. So I'm definitely an Enneagram 7. So with the Enneagram, I am an extrovert, love meeting new people. So throw me in a new setting with a bunch of new people and I'm a happy girl.
That's awesome.
Yes.
So like you said, you are a big Clemson football fan. So I have listened to a couple of your podcasts, Little Bits and Pieces, and a couple of them. And I know that you started out your school at Clemson because you were like, that was your dream job or dream college. And that was like your plan. You thought you had it all figured out and God completely changed it. So just walk us through a little bit of your story. We can't wait to hear it.
Yes, yes. I love getting to share my story. I'll first start off with a verse in Revelation. It says this, that we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And so getting to share our stories is so important because it's really just like a kick in the face of the devil. Like, look what God's done.
Yeah.
don't have the final say. And so it's really cool getting to look back in the rearview mirror and see all that God's done. So yeah, I'd love to share my story. Thank God for giving me the space to do so. So yeah, kind of back up before I even get to kind of my college years, all kind of that story. The most important story is when I gave my life to Christ. And that's been the foundation for where he has brought me to today. And so I was just so blessed to be raised in a Christian household with parents who just loved the Lord and really didn't just bring us to church on Sundays, but they really lived out discipleship in our home and just really modeled what it meant to follow Jesus well. Certainly weren't perfect parents. We weren't a perfect family, but we followed a perfect Savior. So at the age of 7, I gave my life to Christ at Vacation Bible School. Whoop, whoop, we love VBS. So gave my life to the Lord then. And it kind of grew up, still going to church, all the things. And then when I got to middle school, it was in 8th grade, and we had a youth revival at our church. And I just remember the first night really just not having a settled peace about my salvation. And like I knew I had given my life to the Lord when I was super young, but really just kind of had a little bit of uneasiness about it. And so I was like, this is something, you don't play around with. This is something like you need to nail down. And so in 8th grade, I made sure of my relationship with Christ and that not only was he going to be the savior of my life, but also the Lord. I think a lot of times we often just settle for Jesus is my savior and he's not also my Lord and have the lordship over everything in my life. And so that was the marking point in the divider in the sand of saying, hey, no, like you're both my savior and my Lord. And so really in 8th grade was kind of the stepping stone for that. And then kind of fast forward a little bit throughout high school, certainly was not perfect at all. Man, I made my fair share of mistakes. And we could do a whole podcast on all the things that Eden did wrong that you should not do. But y'all, that would not be a very fun podcast. But anyways, but I really desire to live for Christ and set apart for him throughout my middle and high school years. And so I was 16 whenever I went to a conference, and I believe that y'all have actually been to this conference called Extreme Winter. Yes. And so I went to Extreme. I was invited there by some of our family friends who run the conference. And so we attended. I was an attendee that year. Never been before. And I won't forget that Johnny Hunt, our family friend, he was preaching on the last session that morning. And I remember he preached and opened up God's word and talked about basically like, what are you living your life for? And he used this illustration of this casket and a funeral. And he was like, I can't tell y'all the amount of times that I preach at funerals and people stand over caskets and they're like, I don't know where this person's at in eternity, but like, how many times was I with them? And that just like hit me. And I was like, whoa. And it was kind of like an eye-opening moment because it was like, Eden, you've been living for your own faith for so long, which is great. Obviously, we have to be poured into, we have to be encouraged, we have to grow. But I was like, but God was telling me, like, Eden, you have to live outwardly. Like, it can't just be a faith that you keep for yourself, but a faith that you live out openly and live boldly. And so that was a defining moment for me. And now that I look back at my life, and I'll continue to share kind of where I'm at now, but that was really the beginning of where God began to call me to ministry. And that was a defining moment for sure, but I just kind of pushed it down. I definitely like sensed it and I was like, oh, but I was just like, no, like that's not what I'm gonna do. But I remember God so vividly getting my attention that weekend and started to stir something in me in a different calling. I remember there were Liberty reps there and Clemson was my only school that I ever dreamed of going to. So like I was like never, wouldn't like listen to them or whatever. Like obviously Clemson's where I'm going, but I remember having this like weird, undeniable like draw and connection to the Liberty reps there. I don't know. They caught my attention and it was just kind of this whole like weird thing. I remember getting in the car and telling my parents, like, and I remember crying and I was like, I don't really know why I'm crying right now, but something about Liberty, I don't know, I just feel something weird here. And so I remember to the point to where I went my senior year and toured Liberty with one of my friends for college for a weekend, something that they have. And so I remember attending the camp, that weekend and loving it, loving the experience. But I was just kind of like, you know what? This is great. This is amazing. It's beautiful. this is not what I want for my life. Like, Eden has her own plans. So you might be asking, well, Eden, what were your plans? So here's kind of my, here's what I laid out for the Lord. Here's my plans. I'm giving them to you. I'd love for you to make this work. From a very early age, I had very big dreams, and I know that for a lot of people, like, their plans and what they want to do, like, changes several times. Like, they want to be, like, do hair one time, and they'll be a nurse the next, and they change it. But, like, for me, it was always, like, consistent and steadfast. Like, my plan never shifted from, like, middle school all the way up until, like, I was applying for colleges. And that was, I wanted to attend Clemson University. I wanted to become a nurse, and I wanted to cheer there. And I wanted to rush this one sorority. I wanted to, like, meet my future husband there. Like, I can get really detailed, like, how detailed my plan was. Like, get engaged on the football field, like, the whole nine yards of, like, here's my plan, Lord. It looks really good. Can you please bless it? Put your stamp of approval on it. I'm like, just let it come to fruition. So that was, like, my plan, like, all leading up throughout middle and high school. So everything that I did throughout middle and high school was to achieve that dream of getting into Clemson, cheering there, living out Eden's dream. And obviously, like, Lord, I'll stay submitted to you. I'll, you know, bring you glory. Like, I'm using this, but, like, of course, but, like, here's my plans. And so from academics, because Clemson's a pretty hard school to get into, and Eden was, like, smart, but not smart. I don't really know if that really makes sense. Like,
yeah,
an honored student, but, like, not valedictorian or anything like that. So it was still going to be, like, an act of God if Eden got in. So, but everything that I did was to push to that goal of getting into Clemson. And same thing for cheerleading. Everything I did in tumbling and cheer was, like, to get to the sidelines of Death Valley one day. And so fast forward to my senior year of high school, applied to Clemson, all the things. I'm starting to do all the learning the dances, learning the cheers, getting ready for tryouts. And it was the fall year of my senior year of high school, and I attended a tumbling class and just normal getting ready for tryouts, all the things. And I did a flip for those who aren't familiar with all the technical things. And I over rotated, I came down, and I tore my ACL that night at tumbling. And I remember like getting the MRI and them telling me, you've fully torn your ACL. You're going to have complete full knee reconstruction surgery. And you're going to basically be out of commission for about a year. You're going to have months of PT. And I remember just, like, sitting in the doctor's office and being like, okay, all right, Lord, here we go. And still, like, having a peace, but knowing at the same time that, like, cheerleading was not an option for my freshman year of college, and having to, like, accept that and move forward, but really just believing, like, okay, Lord, I trust you, and it's going to be okay. Even though, like, I really was not loving the plan or what was happening, not really fully understanding why. We don't always fully understand. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, had surgery, started recovering, all the things. February comes around. I get accepted to Clemson. Woo-hoo! I was so happy. I won't forget the day that I open up my portal. There's, like, a video on my Instagram somewhere. And it's like I got home from work, and I'm, like, ugly crying, open it with my family around me, and everybody's crying because they know this is, like, a huge moment for me that I've been praying for so long. And I just, like, won't forget that. And so got into Clemson, knew that I wasn't going to be cheering my first year. So kind of fast forward to August, got my roommate, got all the dorm stuff, you know, ready to live my life. But I didn't get into the nursing program. So I wanted to be a nurse, but didn't get into the nursing program the first semester. So they basically were like, okay, you go take all these classes, and then basically you can just apply the next semester. Mm-hmm. They only have so many students each semester. So I was currently a business major. So I went off to Clemson, and the first week, this really describes my personality. You asked me about personality. I just love welcome week. Welcome week was Ben's dream week. I remember, like, you're just meeting people left and right. You have all these functions and these outings, and you're staying up to, like, 2 a.m. and you're eating pizza. And it's just, like, it's the best. It's like summer camp, but, like,
yeah,
it's just amazing. And so, like, Eden's just thriving, loving life. And then there's this, like, hard reality after welcome week that you have to go to this thing called class. And it's like, wait, I'm actually here to get a degree. And it's a great reality to wake up to.
Yeah.
So school started. And again, I'm going for business currently, but taking all the classes to eventually apply again for the nursing program. And I will never forget walking into my first college class, which obviously public university, which is a bio class, which is a lot of students have to take. And there were 300 students in that class. And I remember walking in, sitting down, and the first thing professor said was, "I'm basically going to make this class," she used some colorful language, "terrible for you guys. We're a bunch of freshmen." And I remember like sitting back in my chair and I'm like, take a deep breath. And I'm like, we just moved away from our families. And this is like the first experience. I got all these 300 students in my class. And I'm like, this is terrifying.
That is not encouraging.
Yeah, not encouraging at all. Like we could have said anything else. This is not really the first thing you say to a group of freshmen, but she said it. So I remember just like every single day after that, the workload just being all consuming, feeling so discouraged, so defeated in school, feeling like I can't keep up. My friends are like going out to like all of these functions and like hangouts and all the things. And I'm like, when are y'all like doing school? Because I'm like overwhelmed. It's so hard. Like, I don't understand how y'all are like surviving. Well, then I basically just got to a place where I started noticing that I was becoming very worried, very anxious, very consumed, and not really like leaving my dorm room, feeling like all I'm doing is homework, yet I'm not scratching the surface of my to-do list. And to the point where I was like, see friends like in the dining hall and like would run the other direction because I'm like, I don't have time to talk, like, gotta get back to study. And so I just started noticing a very unhealthy pattern with my mental health and just with anxiety and stress and all the things. And that's not my personality. Like, obviously, like you stress sometimes over a test, but like to the point it was becoming like a constant reoccurring state that I was in. And to one night, I was, of course, doing homework in my dorm and I had a panic attack. And I have never experienced a panic attack before in my life. I've heard about it, not necessarily didn't like think they were real, but I just personally never experienced one. So this was all new to me. And I just remember like from head to toe, like completely numb, like going pale, feeling like I'm gonna be sick, like can't breathe, the whole situation. And so I remember calling my parents and they just prayed over me. Obviously, they're 5 hours away at home and they were just praying over me. A few minutes, I calm down and I'm like, I have to drop this class. Like, that's the only thing I know to do in this moment. And so my parents obviously were just like, whatever you feel the Lord leading you to do, do it. So that night I dropped that biology class because I'm like, this is the root of the issue. Like, if I just didn't have this one class with this one professor, I would be okay. So I dropped the class that night, and you're probably thinking like, okay, you dropped the class, whatever. But it was kind of a really big decision because that class was one that I had to take to get to apply again for the nursing program. And basically, I wasn't able to apply that next semester. And it was past the point to add new classes to your schedule. So when I dropped it, basically it took me down to a part-time student. So this was like a really big decision of like, why in the world did you drop this class? But I was just like, I'm either gonna take this class and die, or I'm gonna be a part-time student. We're just gonna figure out how to make this work. So drop the class that night. The next day, my mom drives up to me. We meet with an advisor, and basically just kind of figure out a new plan for what I'm gonna do. I promise I'm getting somewhere. But I remember we were sitting outside of the business building before we go in to meet with my advisor, and it's me and my mom sitting in front of each other. And we're just sitting at this table and we're like, okay, so let's lay everything out on the table. So we kind of go in with a clear plan of kind of what we're going to talk about, what we're going to do. And she was like, all right, so you love it here at Clemson. You're not homesick. It's not like you hate it here. Your friends are here, all things. I'm like, I want to be at Clemson. Yes, I love it here. This is my dream. It's my plan. Like, this is where I want to be. I was like, but I also want to be a nurse. Like, that's, I know what I'm called to do. But now I've dropped this class. So now I can't apply for the nursing program. I don't want to go home and do nursing at home. But I also don't want to stay doing business here. And so it was just like we're going in circles of like, okay, we can't have it Eden's way. Like, I can't figure out how to make this plan work. And so we went in, or backtrack a little bit. So we're sitting there and I tell my mom that, and I'll never forget. She leans over the table and just kind of looks at me and like pauses. And she goes, Eden, you've always had a heart for ministry. And when she said the word ministry, within a moment, the kind of peace that scripture talks about, the peace that surpasses all understanding, immediately just covered me. And I had been living in so much anxiety, so much turmoil, so much confusion, so much seeking the Lord, asking like, why am I so consumed with anxiety? And moment when she said the word ministry, just the peace of Jesus just washed over me.
That's awesome.
I knew in that moment God was calling me to ministry. When I look back, I can see all along he was calling me throughout high school. He called me at Extreme Winter conferences. I just took it down. He was giving me opportunities through podcasts and just inviting friends to church and just like really just living boldly for my faith. And I'm like, all along, I can see God, you were calling me. But I was so idolizing my own plans, my own dreams, my own way, rather than surrendering to what God really was calling me to do, that I had gotten to this place. But it was a moment of complete surrender right there at that business table. Every time I am in town at Clemson and I pass that building and I see that table, I'm like, thank you, Lord. Like, it's just a moment. It's kind of those moments, like, not a burning bush moment, but kind of a burning bush moment where, you know, you go back to, and like Moses, like this Jesus is like where you spoke to me. And so it's in that kind of moment for me of like, God, like, look what you did here. But we went into that meeting and kind of the plan was, all right, I feel called to ministry, but I had obviously at this point talked to mentors and pastors in my life. And they were like, you know, Eden, a business degree could serve you well in ministry. Like, you could do seminary after if you feel called to do that. But like, this isn't like a bad option. So if you love it here at Clemson and like, this is where you feel like God's called you, then stay here and pursue the degree you're already in. So that was kind of the new plan. So I remember that was a Friday. I went home that weekend kind of just like to hit the reset button and to come back on Sunday afternoon and just be like, all right, Clemson's a fresh start. We're going to start a fresh new week. But I remember being at home that weekend and still having moments where I would feel the heaviness set in again. Like, I'd feel like the worry kind of come back and I'm like, hold up. Like, why is this happening? Like, Eden, you got your plan back in place, like you've got control again, like nothing's out of line. Like, I don't really know why you're feeling this way. And just again, the moments would come, I'd have people pray over me and I'd surrender to the Lord and kind of move on. Well, so I get back to Clemson on Sunday afternoon. And I remember coming back into my dorm and my friends had like left letters on my bed. And I remember we played Just Dance in one of my friend's dorm rooms. And I was like, yes, I'm back. This is the new era of Eden and Clemson. Like, it's going to be a great week. And like, I'm a business girl now and like all the things. And so that was kind of my mindset. Well, I woke up the next day and before you ever like have moments where you open like your eyes and you kind of just like take a photograph memory and like you'll never forget it. It's mm-hmm. kind of one of those moments. From the first moment that I opened up my eyes, I remember like exactly what my dorm room looked like. And I just remember the overwhelming weight of anxiety that was sitting on my chest when I just opened my eyes. And I was so confused. That whole day was the worst day that I had had ever since everything that I had started at Clemson. And I wasn't eating. I was so stressed, crying uncontrollably for no reason. Like, I could not tell you why. And just every part of me, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically, like, was not in line. And I remember going to this one class, which was public speaking. And for some, that in and of itself would give you anxiety. But for me, I'm like, I can't talk to anybody. Like, it's fine. Like, that class is a But for some, it would. But I remember the professor saying, raise your hand today, like kind of just kind of a check-in, like raise your hand if you are just thriving, like your week's going great. A few people raised their hand. I mean, you're in class, so not everybody's thriving in class. But
yeah,
the next question was, raise your hand if you're surviving, like, okay, you're having an all right week. And most people raised their hand. And then she was like, raise your hand if you feel like you're dying. And I was like, me. And I was the only person raised my hand. I remember everybody kind of like looked at me like a deer in headlights. And I was like, yep. And I'm just sitting here like crying, consumed, like just having a moment. And yeah, didn't really care. I didn't care that anyone knew, because I was in such a dark, hard place and so confused as mm-hmm. to. And I remember that whole day, just complete surrender to Christ. Like, it was I can't even explain it to you. Like, it was an every moment begging God to get me through the next second, not the next day, the next second. Lord, I need you again. Lord, I need you this next minute. Lord, would you keep continue to put breath in my lungs? Like, begging him for every moment of just not even daily bread, but every second kind of bread. And it was such a hard day. And I remember getting to the point where I had talked to pastors, I had talked to mentors in my life. Like, everybody had pointed me to scripture. Everybody had given me godly counsel that it talks about in Proverbs. You know, for a multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. Like, I had done all that. I had got their wisdom. I was living it out. I was applying it to my life. But it came to a point, girls, where I was like, I need a word from the Lord. Like, yeah. All of y'all's words are great, and y'all pointed me to the word, but, like, I need Jesus to step in and to speak to me personally. And so I went back to my dorm room, and I opened up God's word, and I'm pretty faithful to God's word. Gosh, certainly I'm not perfect, but love his word, try to stay in it. And so usually, like, I'm reading somewhere every day, but this is one of those moments where you're just so – overwhelmed that you just open it to some random page, and I never would do that. Like, that's like weird. Like, I would just turn to where I was reading the day before, but I just opened to some random page, and it was Jeremiah 29, past verse 11, which everyone knows, and it was verses 14 and 15, and it says this: when you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. And then it said, and in those days I will end your captivity, I will restore to you your fortunes, and I will bring you home from the land that I have sent you to. And I know in that moment, you're probably thinking, like, you know, like, what? Like, how does this make sense? But it was like Eden, it was like the Holy Spirit completely customized that verse and just spoke it directly over me. Like, he didn't speak audibly, but it was like as if he did speak audibly to me. It was like he said, Eden, you've looked for me wholeheartedly, and you have found me. And then it says, in those days I will end your captivity. So it was like he was saying, Eden, I'm going to end this anxiety, I'm going to end this worry, I'm going to end this fear, and I'm going to restore to you your fortunes, meaning I'm going to restore to you the joy of your salvation, I'm going to restore to you your peace, your joy, all these things that you feel like has been sucked out of you. Like, I'm going to restore this back to you. And then it said, and I will bring you home from the land that I have sent you to. And it was immediately the Lord was saying to you, Eden, get in your car and go home. Like, this is not where I have you. And, but then it said, but where, from where I have sent you. So it wasn't like Jesus was saying to me, oh, you made a mistake by coming here, or yeah, oh, you were disobedient. But no, I have sent you here for a reason and for a purpose, and you don't really understand it right now in this moment, but I believe one day you will, and it's a part of a bigger story that I'm writing for you. And so in that moment, I knew exactly what God was calling me to do, and that was to leave Clemson, to withdraw, to get in my car and go home. Did I have any answers or what, have anything figured out? Absolutely not. But I knew that I heard from the Lord. And when you, the Lord gives you a word, you can stand on it and you can stake your life on it. It's one thing to feel some type of way or to be told something through somebody. But when Jesus, through his word, speaks to you after you've asked him to, that's something you can stake your life on. Not like, oh, well, was it from him or was it not? But when it's in his written word, like, that, like, is powerful. It's alive. It's active. And so I open up my computer. Didn't even call my parents and tell them. Like, I open up my computer, I hit the withdraw button. There's no going back from it. Like, once you hit it, like, it's over. Yeah. I hit the button, and I packed a small weekend bag, like, threw some pajamas, some random stuff in, saw my Bible sitting on my little coffee table. I grabbed it and walked that horrible 2 mile walk to my car up a hill. And that was a whole situation.
Oh, that's even better.
Universities are just glorious. But I got in my car and I came home, and I'll never forget. It was like the afternoon-ish, and the sun was setting, and I was on the interstate, and I could see the beautiful sun setting behind me, and I looked in my rear view, and it was like Clemson was in the rear view, home was in the front, and just thinking, Lord, I am driving and about to be walking into so many unknowns. I have no idea what I'm doing for my future. I have no idea what I'm going to do that's going to bring me money or an income one day. Like, I have zero direction. But Lord, this is my yes, and this is my obedience to you. And Lord, I'm just laying it right here at your feet. And I don't know what you're going to do with it. I don't know what you're going to call me to. But Lord, I just know that you've called me to this, and I want to be obedient and be faithful. So here I am, Lord, and I'm driving home. And so it was like I was in the rear view, seeing everything that I've ever dreamed for my life. Cheer, nursing, meeting my person there, like all the things, like, okay, Lord, like, your way is better. And I surrender. So I drove home. And I woke up the next morning, and it was, the reality set in. Like, okay, I'm at home. Everybody's in class right now. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, can we please figure out a plan? Because when we feel like we have a plan, we feel like we have control.
Yeah.
But that is not always the truth. But I got home and it wasn't, and I want you to hear my story because where I am now, praise God, but like I want you to hear that there was a season of life where it was getting up every single day and asking and praying the Lord and praying to the Lord the same thing over and over again. Lord, today, whatever you're calling me to, I want to say yes and I want to be faithful. Lord, would you please open doors? Will you please direct me? Will you please give me the strength to figure out what your will is for my life? And it was praying that same thing over and over and over again, and really having no clarity for a while as to what were practical next steps to take. And the Lord was just still so faithful, even without giving us answers. And I think that we equate faithfulness with God giving us answers a lot of the times. We're like, but it's really not the case. Like, God is faithful because He's faithful. That's who He is, not when He gives us answers or when we feel like that we have the full plan in place. Like, no, He's just faithful because that's who He is. And so I remember coming home and still having moments of like the worry and like, oh gosh, like what's going on? And but it's so the enemy is so crafty how he works because he is the father of lies. And what is anxiety? Anxiety is worrying about the future. It is focusing and fixating on lies that are not true and thinking about worst case scenarios and all those things. And so it was kind of like the enemy had shifted the worry and anxiety when I was at Clemson to now that I'm at home, and the lies were something like this, like, you made the wrong decision, you heard the Lord wrong. Now that you're not at Clemson, now you're never going to find a husband, now you're never going to be a mom. Now, and it's just like this whole web of lies of like shifting the narrative from to something completely different. And I remember sitting on a couch in my living room with my mom just some random day, and she was washing dishes, and I remember just having a moment, and she just like looked at me and she was like, "What are you thinking about?" And I was like, "I don't really want to tell you what I'm thinking about." And she was like, "No, I need you to tell me. What are you thinking about?" So she came over and sat on the couch with me, and I just start crying, and I said, "I really just want to go be with Jesus." And she just like paused and just kind of held me, and I was like, and I want you to hear, it was never that I ever wanted to end my life or never that I wanted to harm myself, but that just tells you the state of living that I was in, that I felt so desperate and just so at like, wow, this world is so hard. And for the first time in my life, yes, I had dealt with trials and stuff and before, but this was the first time that Jesus brought me absolutely to rock bottom, to where He had to be enough for me. It was the hardest thing I'd ever been through up to this point in my life. And I just said, I know how sweet it is to be with Jesus and in His presence. And because I know how sweet heaven is, I just want to escape the pain of this world, and I just want to be with Him. And so again, it wasn't anything that I was like suicidal or was going to harm myself, but I was like, I just want to go be with Him. I just want to be with Him. And so immediately she got me in the car. We went to church, got some counseling right there in that moment. Praise God for people who are wise and love the Lord and can help counsel us in different seasons. But that was a really hard season coming home. And I shared that part because it wasn't like, oh, Eden, you put your yes on the table and you were obedient to Christ and then you came home and then like, look what God did with your life. Like, no, like that was a hard season. And it was still like, well, is God going to be faithful even with my obedience on the table? And yes, He was. And so again, it wasn't immediately Him opening doors or figuring out what I was going to do, but I was like, okay, well, what's the next step that Eden's going to take today? And it's this. And I was like, praying through school, well, what am I going to do? Well, I know God, what do I know for sure? What is for certain? I know that God is good, and I know that He's called me to ministry. And so praying through what that kind of looked like, having no idea, because I'm like, you know, I'm not going to be a pastor, don't really know what I'm called to. You know, like, I like girls' ministry, but like, women in ministry, you know, it's a whole thing. And so I'm like, I don't really know like where God's going to use me. And so I remember just having such a peace from the Lord to do Liberty, and not to go to Liberty. And everybody's always kind of like, why are you doing it online? And to be honest, at first I couldn't answer, but I just had such a peace from the Lord of like, minute, like, you're going to go to Liberty, you're going to do it online. And really just with like to be hands-on in ministry in different capacities, to be able to do things in my college years that I couldn't have done if I was tied down to a college campus. And so it's so funny how God works. I don't believe in coincidences. It's all about his divine providence. But Liberty was the only other school that I was ever interested in. And then God, like, full circle puts it back in my story, like, all these years later. And I'm like, God, look at you. Like, I had no idea why at that conference I was so overwhelmed by Liberty and, like, these reps and, like, all these things. But I see now, because now I'm in my senior year at Liberty doing online, and, like, it's been the greatest gift. And I'm like, just praise God for that. So I started Liberty, and that was, like, a for sure, like, okay, I'm doing this. So I did that, and the Lord was just so faithful each and every day with just waking up and saying, Lord God, whatever you're going to call me to today, God, help me to be faithful, help me to be found faithful to you, and just laying my life down as a living sacrifice for him and saying, use me. And so the Lord was just so kind to start opening doors, and I was just blown away by all that God's done. And I want to say it's what God's done. It's nothing Eden's done. It is all him and me, and I just praise him for it. And so I remember I was texting with one of my friends, and they have Winter Jam, which is a Christian tour that tours around like 40 cities around the U.S. And it's a Christian music tour. And I remember I was freshly home from Clemson, just started Liberty and really just needing something to do, still seeking the Lord about things. And I remember there was an opening on Winter Jam. I was friends with their family, and they were like, Eden, come tour with us. And I'm like, okay, all right, sure. You know what? I don't have anything holding me down. I'm doing school online. So for the next 3 months, I toured with Winter Jam. We went to 40 different cities all around the country, from east to west, just like sharing the news, good news of the gospel through music. Obviously I did not sing, but because I don't sing. I sing for the Lord, but I don't sing on stages. But I worked the tour, and I oversaw the VIP experience. And so that was just super, super cool. And that's really where the Lord began to birth in me a hospitality side, which I always like love being hospitable and all the things, and a hosting side, and a just this, that kind of side to me. And so now I get to do it as a job. I host people constantly. Hospitality is like what I do. And so I do that through conferences, and I do that as an event coordinator. So it's just kind of cool how like the Lord already started doing that, but like years ago when I was a freshman in college. And so I did that. And then the Lord, it was just kind of like, okay, Lord, tour's over. Like what we got next going on?
Yeah.
Truly, he was just so kind. And I remember that my roommate from Clemson, her home church, I had went and visited at before, and I remember just absolutely loving it. And so I saw where they had internships, and her mom actually sent it to me. It's like, hey, I know you like started in ministry, like you should come intern at our church. And so one thing led to another. For that summer, I went interned at Church at the Mill in Spartanburg, South Carolina, a very well-known, incredibly healthy, very vibrant church. And I got to serve in student ministry, got to oversee girls ministry there for the summer. And that was just a joy of my life. Student ministry is always just like where my heart is. To serve girls, and it's truly just a gift. So that was the sweetest summer, getting to serve there. And it was just like God just continued to open door after door. I started writing, which that's a whole situation. I never saw myself writing a book, and the Lord just like literally opened a door. I was just already writing, like I was already just doing that, and then the Lord just opened doors. And that's like my biggest advice that I tell people is like, just be faithful, like where your feet are, like on social media. Like you don't have to wait till you have all these followers. And like, that's not the goal anyways. Like be faithful with a few that are following you. Mm-hmm. Faithful with the friend group that you have around you. Be faithful in that school. Like you don't need stages or microphones. Like, no, be faithful like where God has you. And so that was literally the story of my life. Like just being faithful where my feet currently were, in my church, in my student ministry, on my social media. Like I was already making these writing posts and all these things. And God is just so kind to literally open doors for me. And so that now I'm writing a devotional, which is crazy. And I'm like, praise God for that. But it is literally just the kindness and grace of the Lord in my life of where he has brought me to. And so got to do a lot of different things throughout my college years. I tell people this all the time. My college years have looked nothing normal. Like if someone would have told Eden that like she would not be like on a public university, like rushing a sorority and like having this whole like traditional college experience, I probably would have cried because like my heart grieves that life and that image that I had of myself as my college years. But I'll say my college years have not looked anything like that, but they had been so much better and they had been so different than what's quote unquote normal. But it has been God's college years and God's college plans for Eden, and it has been the most exceedingly and abundantly more than I've ever asked, dreamed, or imagined, what he's allowed me to steward and to walk in. And I also don't want you to hear that and think like, oh, it's been perfect, because it has not. There have still been seasons in between where there has been heartbreak, there's been rejection, there's been closed doors, there's been dreams, doors closed with those dreams. And so it's still been a daily dependence on Christ and a daily waking up the tomorrow morning. God, I surrender my life to you. What do you have for me today? What assignments have you called me to today that I need to be found faithful in? And so, intern at that church, have done tours. I work for a few different Christian conferences. I work for Extreme now, where God called me to ministry at. And so like the Lord is just in the details, and you can't really see it until you look back in the rearview mirror and you see his face. How all along, when you thought that things were falling apart, really they were falling into place. And so God has just been so, so kind. Now I am serving at my home church, which is wild. I never would have thought that I'd be on staff at my home church, but God is just the coolest. And it's the church that I was raised in, saved in, discipled in, and now I get to pour back into, and I get to be that leader for the girls in student ministry, and I get to lead events and get to plan and use the giftings and things that the Lord's poured into me to get to pour out into our church. And so it's been really, really cool. And so that's kind of my ministry story and just kind of what God's done. He's been so faithful. I'll leave you with this one verse that really sums up it all, and it's Romans 8:28. And it says this, and I know that God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And I love that verse because it sums up everything, that no matter what happens in your life, the good, the bad, the highs, the lows, the mountains, the valleys, that in every single redirection, and every single rejection, no matter what happens, that God has our good in mind and his glory in mind as well. And so all of it points to Jesus wants our good, and he gets glorified through it all. And so really that's the goal, not our happiness, but rather his holiness is what we're after. And so Lord, make me holy, no matter if it's through the really, really hard stuff. And I'll say this, that Eden would not be where she's at today if it wasn't for that really hard season at Clemson and all the hard seasons that I've had from that point into where I am now, that there has been a dependence on Christ, that I've had to lean on him like never before. And I wouldn't trade those seasons for anything, because now I know him so much more intimately. And for that, I'm so grateful.
Yeah, I love that so much. Your story is like so impactful. It's so like, it's just so beautiful where you can see like how you're looking back on it all now, how God was literally making it from the beginning. I love that.
Yeah. And especially like, I know you haven't gotten to this point exactly yet, but like senior year, all of us right now are talking about colleges, applying to colleges, all the things. And everyone's like, all right, what are you doing with the rest of your life? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow.
And that's okay. And that is, and I would tell anybody that, like I tell all my seniors that, I'm like, it's okay not to know, but do what you do know and do it well. Put one foot in front of the next. Continue to surrender to Christ, and like, he will make your path straight. Like, I love the verse that his word is a lamp unto our feet. And I love how it's the word lamp, because that means you can't see the full road, but you can just see where your feet are. So like, he's going to like give you your daily bread for tomorrow, and he's going to light the way for tomorrow. And so just take the next right step, but you don't have to figure it out.
Yeah.
We're girl freaks, especially girls. We like to have a plan.
Yes.
To go well.
We do. But it's so encouraging, like hearing your story that you started out somewhere and now it's completely different. Like none of that was a set in stone. You had to do this your way, because obviously God's way was so much better.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, it's so much better. Exceedingly and abundantly more, truly. But we have to release the control and open up our hands and surrender for us to get to the exceedingly and abundantly more place. But oftentimes that's risk and it's not comfortable and it hurts. But I'll say this, that it's a lot better to live a surrendered life to Christ than to live a controlled life and for him to have to rip something from your fingers, and that hurts a lot more.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this has been so much fun getting to talk to you. And we are definitely going to have to do a second podcast at some point, because as I was like listening, I was like, oh my gosh, I could ask her literally a million questions and we could be here for hours.
I would love that. So yes, anytime we'll do a second episode. I'd love it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. I hope that it has encouraged a lot of our listeners. I know it's encouraged us just to be where you're at in the moment and follow God over everything else wholeheartedly. And that is ultimately what will just make it better. I don't even know where I'm going with this, but like it's just so cool to see in your story how even though there were so many pieces, God was the consistent piece through all of it.
So consistent. It's my favorite thing about him, that when everything else is changing, like he remains the same.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, thank you guys for joining us, and we'll see you back next week.